Welcome to the Intersection Podcast, brought to you by Impact 360 Institute. Impact 360 Institute is passionate about equipping a new generation of Christ-centered influencers to understand, defend, and live out their faith in the marketplace. Here's your host, Jonathan Morrow.
What is one thing every young leader should do? And how important is it for a leader to be mentored? And how important is it for leaders to invest in others? And how does a leader create a development culture in your organization? These are just some of the important questions that we're going to be talking about in today's episode of the Impact 360 Institute podcast, where we have the privilege to talk to Selma Wilson. Here's a little bit more about our guest today. Selma Wilson serves as Vice President of Lifeway's Organizational Development Division, which includes human resources and leadership development. Prior to this appointment, Selma served 4 years as Vice President of Broadman Holman Publishing Group. She first joined Lifeway's Church Resources Division in 1989, where she served as Director of the Discipleship and Family Magazine Department, the Director of Organizational Performance and Church Resources, and as the Associate to the Vice President of Church Resources. Additionally, Wilson, along with her husband, Rodney, served as Executive Directors of Home Life Magazine. She earned her Bachelor of Science degree from the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga and has completed continuing education courses with emphasis in organizational development and human resource management at the University of Southern California and Columbia University. She and Rodney have 2 adult daughters and 3 grandchildren. And recently, our executive director, Dr. Phil Alsop, had the opportunity to have this great leadership conversation with Selma. So we hope you enjoy.
Welcome, everybody. We're happy to have you join us today for our Impact 360 Leadership Podcast. And today we're focusing on the importance of leaders investing in others. And in order to do that, I'm really excited to have our guest with us today. Her name is Selma Wilson. And as you heard about in the intro bumper there, she's Vice President of Organizational Development with Lifeway Christian Resources. And pleased to say, certainly a friend of mine and somebody who has blessed me in my life in things that I've been able to learn about leadership from her. So Selma, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, Phil, it is an honor to be a part of this and to be a part of just a conversation with you. I love a focus on leadership and a focus on development. So let me applaud you and the work you're leading. It has never been more important today as gospel-centered organizations that we pour into the next generation of leaders. So it's fun. And I know you enjoy it, and it's an honor and privilege to be here with you today.
Well, Selma, I know that's a big passion of yours, and it's something that you get to do every day. Tell us a little bit more about your current responsibilities in developing people there at Lifeway.
Well, Phil, it's interesting. As you know, I've been in different leadership positions at Lifeway for the last 15 years, and this position emerged this last year, and it really was the president of the company, Dr. Tom Rayner, saying, I need a people person at my executive leadership table. Mm-hmm. I had been in other positions. I had most recently been the president of our trade publishing area, Broadman and Holman Publishing, B&H. And we made the decision strategically to merge our resource areas. And he felt like, for multiple reasons, that we need a people executive. So I get jokingly called the people czar of life. And I love it. I've been in this role since February, and I love it that I get to be a part of a conversation that lifts up our people, focuses on our people having all they need to reach their full potential. So it is a very exciting role, a new role for us here at Lifeway. But I love people, so it's a good fit.
Well, I couldn't think of a better place for your skills and your passions, and I know you're a blessing there. I'm excited about what you get to do there, Selma.
Thank you.
Now, every leadership journey has a starting place. Tell us about your first big responsibility in leadership.
Well, I love that question. You know, when did leadership start? And even as you're pouring into the next generation, I like to reframe what leadership means. And there's a bucket of gifts that happen. My mother said when I was a young girl, she saw leadership in me because I'd line my dolls up and kind of direct their work. And then in eighth grade, I have a memory of my eighth grade teacher calling out leadership in me. And telling me, just pointing out those gifts in me. My first formal leadership position, where I was given the title of leader, I was on a team, Phil, and I believe you were at Lifeway at that time. I became a part of the leadership team of discipleship and family here at Lifeway. That was really my first, you know, where you really put on the whole coat of leadership. You had people and work to lead and manage. So, but I do look back, and I like to do this with young leaders, to go back and call out those gifts that they had early in their life that have been developed over many, many years, that gets them ready for that formal leadership position.
Well, somewhere along that way, did you have somebody that really stepped in and mentored you, or was an example in leadership?
Oh, Phil, I have been so incredibly blessed over my life. My early mentors were school teachers. I have many teachers that invested in me, called out gifts in me. I recall them with great respect and honor all the way through college. And those were my first, when I think back and I think about mentors, that was a part of my life. Also, in the church, having been active in the church, I think back over adults, again, that saw something in me that they were willing to risk and put me in leadership within the church, whether I led a missions project for teenagers or spoke during those youth events within the church. So my story is one definitely of adults that have called out gifts in me that I didn't see in myself and given me an opportunity to express those gifts. Here in my own leadership journey at Lifeway, so many individuals that I think that I had the privilege of working alongside, sometimes I call them a safety net. They would push me out to do something beyond my capability, but they were there beside me, coaching me, cheering me on, that safety net to say, you're not doing this alone, which is a huge leadership principle that I think is so important. And part of that mentorship, that you're not alone. You have other people around you. So I have been incredibly blessed to have that as a part of my leadership story.
Well, Selma, as you look back on those leadership opportunities and you think about the people that invested you along the way, but now you're at a point where you know what you know now, what's the big thing that you would think of that you wish, man, I wish somebody had told me this part about leadership?
Well, you know, the wonderful thing about getting older is the wisdom of that. I think in my early years of having leadership opportunity, as I began to be able to expand my own leadership influence, maybe it's part of youth, Phil, I don't know. I wasn't as proactive as I wish I had been. Now, today, being older, I'm going to grab every opportunity to learn from anyone I can learn from. I know the value of that. But I look back over seasons and I say, I wish I'd spent more time. I wish I'd asked more questions. You know, some of that is your own lack of confidence or not wanting to bother anyone or just not being aware. But I guess if there was anything that I wish I'd done more of is being more proactive, to spend time with the incredible men and women that have come across my path, to ask questions and to learn from them, just to sit at their feet more intentionally. Mm-hmm. It happened in the process of work, but I would have been bold and asked for more of that.
And so I think that's fantastic advice, because so many statistics show that millennials especially desire and want to seek out mentoring, and a lot of our listeners are millennials. You were giving good advice there on being bold and purposeful in seeking that out. What other steps for that young professional out there that's ready to step in? How do they be bold? How can you encourage them to take that step and find that mentor that they may be desiring?
Well, I love the millennial generation. I love working with young potential leaders and those that are already giving great influence in the roles they have today. So just a few things I would say. One, have a mindset for development all of your life. But right now, see the opportunity to learn and grow all around you. Open your eyes to see. There will never be a limit to the resources around you that show up in people, both that are in your sphere of influence, but also even beyond that, that you can connect with more informally online through blog resources and others. But have a mindset to be proactive in learning and development. I call it owning your own development. Mm-hmm. It's a huge stake for me, especially in the Western world. We have no excuse to not grow and develop. We have more resources at our fingertip, and it's a matter of you having a mindset to say, I want to be intentional about that. I want to be proactive about it. So you pray and then you ask. That would be my second thing. Ask questions. What I find, especially in organizations of faith, people of faith, if you ask, people are going to give you time. They're going to want to invest in you. And you have to be respectful of leaders that have a lot on their plate. But you can ask simple questions like, what are you reading? You know, what book are you reading now that is having an impact on you? You can seek out a little bit of their time just to tell me some experiences that you have learned from. Tell me your greatest leadership failure as well as your greatest leadership opportunity. Mm-hmm. But always seek out the wisdom of others that have gone before you. I think, you know, God sets above time, and we as millennials or as boomers, we have people that have gone before us that have so much wisdom, and it's a matter of us stopping to ask and seek them out. So own your own development, learn to ask questions, and make that a part of your leadership portfolio. And third, I think is very important, is that you know yourself. Mm-hmm. All of us come to the table with different gifts, different experiences, different passions. We're, you know, God has uniquely gifted us and shaped us as individuals. So having tools for you to learn yourself is very, very important. There's all kinds of tools from Myers-Briggs, Ministry Insight, Strength Finders, just a few that I really value, but there's others out there. So learn your giftedness, and then also ask other people. Hopefully you're in an environment where people will call those gifts out in you. Mm-hmm. They're going to see them in you and point them out. But if you're not hearing that, or they're not speaking in a way for you to hear, then I challenge young leaders to ask leaders, tell me some areas you think I need to grow in. Tell me some areas you think I'm strong in. Just your own informal assessment of yourself. That is very, very helpful.
I love that advice, Selba. And you're right. So much of it is being purposeful and owning it and being strategic. It's amazing. And I'm sure you would agree, as you get deeper in your career, it's funny how some of the really seemingly obscure things that you were doing early in your career that you sat there some days thinking, why in the world, why am I doing this? It's amazing important some of those things end up being later. It's just the way that God develops us.
That is so true. it is. And that's why I think having a broader view of development is so important, because the position you're in now, you might say, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. But if you have the opportunity to learn something outside of the work you're doing now, it will serve you. Mm-hmm. I remember a classic example of that. My experience base didn't take me through the path of development on the financial side. I came from the social science side. And I remember the day I said, I need to learn the business side. And I just reached out to a finance leader and I said, can you teach me the financial side? And he spent individual coaching time with me, and I learned all about business. I learned about P&Ls. I learned about top line, bottom line, margin, revenue, all those things that I didn't have a clue about. I didn't need them at that time, but I can't tell you the difference that made when I had an opportunity to step into leadership that I already had at least a degree of understanding on the business side. That's just one example. So for young leaders, no matter what their career path is currently, I do believe to be successful over the decades, you're going to need more in your toolbox than just one career path. You need to have a broader sphere of understanding, whether it's market, market analysis, marketing, people, understanding of social science systems, or the science of an organization, which will be metrics, every organization, even nonprofits, have a business side to them. So knowing a little bit about the business really helps. Mm-hmm. Of course, learning, you know, understanding and growth in the theology side, biblical knowledge and understanding will always serve you no matter what role mm-hmm. you find yourself in.
Right. And just as you were saying, those broader experiences as a young professional, is as you get deeper in your career, I guess what you don't realize most of the time as a young professional is when you're moving through your career and you're looking for other opportunities, when an organization's down to the last two or three candidates, usually they're pretty even in their yes. abilities. But the leader is looking at these thinking, man, if I had somebody that could just do this skill, it would move the work forward. And the broader, the broader your experiences are, the more likely it is that you can become that person.
You're right, Phil. That's great. It will be that extra thing that you have. Mm-hmm. And I agree. And showing that you're proactive in learning will be a huge, huge value to whatever position that you find yourself in. Someone that owns their own development and they're proactive to learn and grow.
Well, Selma, tell us a little bit about the why that drives you, that you wake up in the morning excited that I get to do this and play this role in helping to develop leaders today.
Well, for me, that's a great question that I think all of us have to answer, because it will be the driver on the good days, the hard days, mm-hmm. The answering the why individually and then collectively as an organization, as a team you lead, it's critical. For me, being a gospel-centered person, that I say this all the time, I was captured by the grace of Christ as a 9-year-old girl, and I just haven't gotten over it yet. That the gospel drives me. I do believe that, Christ is the answer. He's the hope. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So that is stake number one for me. Second, the why is I feel deeply called and compelled to help people reach their full potential in Christ. I want to help people thrive in the place that God has them. I want to help resource them, encourage them, motivate them so that they are in that place that they feel they're being able to use the gifts that they have to make an impact in the place that God has them. So that's the driver for me every day. God has given me, again, we're all wired differently, but I have a deep love for people. I think that's why I ended up in that social science track in my own career. Mm-hmm. But the why for me is that. I think one of the most joyful things for me is when I see people growing, reaching their potential, using the gifts that God has given them to make an impact in the marketplace or in the organization, in the church, wherever they find themselves. That is my greatest joy. My greatest sadness is the flip side of that. Is when I see people who've lost their passion. Mm. I feel things, I can sense when a person is in a place that, they're not reaching their full potential. They've, whatever it means to grow and develop, they've stopped growing and developing. They've lost the joy in their work. I want to help them find that again and rewire them. So that's the why for me. I believe the gospel centered in people. Everything about the gospel is people, and I love being in that place to help people reach their full potential in Christ.
And Selma, one of the exciting aspects of helping people develop their full potential in Christ and as a byproduct in their vocation and their family life and all that is being able to invest in them, to be there for the high fives and the way to goes yes. and things like that. But one of the most important skills that a lot of people don't stop to think about or even take time to develop is being able to have the hard conversation with somebody. That's a very integral part of being able to develop somebody. And I think most of us would look back on our careers and realize there were some hard days where a leader had a hard conversation with us, but that was one of the most important times of our life. How would you encourage young professionals to be able to develop that skill and approach hard conversations with confidence?
Well, Phil, you are exactly right. If you're going to lead, that has to be a leadership tool in your toolbox. You've got to know how to have the hard conversations. Well, one, I go to a biblical principle in Ephesians. It's us learning to speak the truth in love. In love, many times the hard conversation is about somebody not being in the place that they need to be in. it's not the right fit for them. They're, you know, there's a better match for them and their gift set and their opportunity. You speak the truth in love. I do think that the ongoing conversations with people is a part of leadership. I don't think any individual should be surprised. There should be that ongoing assessment that you're trying to help your team, you know, use the gifts they have. So you're talking to them on a regular basis. So that is so important. Another truth about leadership, which is hard but real, you have to care more about your organization than any one person on your team. Hmm. I don't know at what point I began to understand that. I remember the first hard conversation I had to have with an individual, and Phil, it wore me out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tried every way in the world to fix it, and you know, I used every resource I needed to use, but it was not working. And I remember when I had the conversation that this individual needed to be moved off the team, we needed to find a better fit for them. The relief on my team was unbelievable. Mm. I really hadn't calibrated what this wrong fit was doing for the health and the well-being of the entire team. I had about 40 people on my team at that time. And one of the lessons I learned was I should have made the decision earlier for the health of my team. I was so focused on the individual mm-hmm. that I wasn't calibrating what the impact of that individual was having on my whole team. So I do think that is something we steward. We care about the individuals. I think you have no equity to lead unless you love the people that you have, not the people you wish you had, but the people that God has given you. And every time a hard conversation has had to happen on teams that I've led, and since that time I've led bigger teams and larger teams, I always tell our leaders, you've got to go to your knees in prayer. It is a huge stewardship that when we steward the people under our leadership, mm-hmm. and we don't make decisions casually right. about people. We want to make them, you know, humbly before the Lord, seeking God's wisdom, but then make the right call for the organization that God has called us to steward. And it is part of what's needed. And we're not serving the individual. This is another thing I've come to realize. When an individual is not thriving in their place, we're not doing them any good by not having a conversation of speaking mm-hmm. the truth in love. And you know this, Phil, in your years of experience. An individual who has stopped growing, they're unhappy in the role they're in, they're taking that home with them. Mm-hmm. That place they're in is not only affecting the team they're on, it's affecting every part of their life. So to not deal with it is not leadership. It right. is weakness. And I think absolutely we do it humbly, we do it with grace, but we speak the truth in love and help the person transition to a place where they can thrive and they can grow and they can reach their full potential.
It's fantastic advice, Selma. I agree wholeheartedly that, as you were saying, it is a critical part in developing yes. somebody because, as you said, a lot of times they're not happy either. And
no.
Sometimes they don't even really fully realize it until they've moved away from those responsibilities.
That's correct.
And so part of developing people is helping them find the place where they can most contribute. So that's wise advice. Selma, as you think about young professionals, you think about the millennial who's coming to work every day, they're career-minded, they're thinking, how can I expand my job responsibilities? How can I help leadership see that I want to be invested in? How is a way that a young professional can approach their leader and say, hey, I'd really like to grow in these areas, I'd like for the company to invest in me, without, you know, coming off as, you know, sometimes I think we feel like, you know, that's not my place. I'd be overly aggressive, or, you know, my leader might not think that I have the right attitude. What's a good way that a young professional can approach a leader with confidence and say, hey, I'd like for you to develop me in these ways?
Well, first, I would say don't wait on your leader to develop you. Hmm. Be proactive in your own development.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And start there. Take in your development plan to your leader to say, what else would you add to this plan? And one of the things an executive coach taught me years ago that it's always served me well. When you're approaching a leader, you need to have just a few minutes to calibrate what's on the leader's mind. Mm-hmm. Don't start with you, start with them. Every leader has more on their mind than you do. Mm-hmm. That leader above you has more pressures, more opportunity. They just have other things on their mind. So I would always start first respectfully to ask a few questions. If they blog, be sure and read what they've written last before you go into them. That'll mm-hmm. give you some insight. But go in just asking a few questions. Be self-aware that they have other pressures on their mind and take that into account before you ask anything of them. But most leaders, they are going to love it that you come in and you're ready and you've said, you know, I really want to grow and develop. Here's the four things I'm doing. I'm reading this book. I'm learning this new skill. I'm meeting with John on the team to learn more about his work. And then you say, and what else would you add? 9 times out of 10, that leader's going to kick back in shock. They're going to go, wow. And they will add something. And remember, you may have caught them off guard. So you never want to embarrass a leader. So you got to be careful in that moment to say, well, tell me what you're reading right now that's having an impact on your leadership. All leaders are reading something. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have an answer to that. You might leave it with this. Well, think about it. And if there's anything that you think I need to do that I don't currently have on my development plan, would you mind just sending me an email and let me know? That gives them that little bit of space to think about it. Mm-hmm. And it also gives you the opportunity for it to be an ongoing conversation with them. So those are some things. And again, I have never asked in my, you know, if you go in right, every leader is going to want to help you grow and develop. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're not proactively doing it is not because they don't want to. It's because they have a lot on their plate. So I would definitely go in with the plan, ask how they can add to your plan, and leave the door cracked open mm-hmm. for ongoing conversations with them.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I think anybody can go to a leader with confidence with those yes. things in their pocket and feel good about it. I got a lot of the same advice at one point where somebody told me that either trying to solve a problem that your leader's trying to solve or
right.
taking some responsibilities that they don't necessarily like doing. They would rather be doing something else. You can always go to your leader with those types of things, and that's a good way to get them to quickly invest in you.
Oh, it is a great way. Help them solve a problem.
Right.
Take some pressure off them, and you've won the day.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, let's flip it a little bit, Selma, okay. for the young professional that has now moved into maybe leading a project team or leading a group of people there at work, and now they're beginning to feel the weight of developing
yes.
people. What's a good starting place for them? Do they develop everybody? Do they pick out certain people? Where does one begin with that?
Okay, so you're in a leadership role and you're leading people. A couple of things that come to mind. One, you want to have a development culture. So as a leader, you want your team to know how you're learning and growing. And you want to put out in your culture that the expectation that we're going to all learn and develop. So one, make it an ongoing conversation and an ongoing expectation that you want everyone growing and developing. And you lead out in that by modeling it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. Number two in that, I think every meeting you have should be about development. This is a huge leadership principle. You don't want to have a meeting that you're just sharing information. You can do that a different way. You can mm-hmm. do that by email, reports, or whatever. Intentionally plan your meetings with development in mind. And when you do that, you're going to do some things differently. You're going to have leaders present. You're going to say, Bob, why don't you present what you've learned about, you know, the millennial generation and how they want to be communicated with.
Mm-hmm.
And you have that individual present. Well, they're learning tons in that. You know, communication is essential for every position to be successful. Written and verbal communication. I can't tell you how many times I've had leaders under my stewardship when I began to develop them and how to present information. And even in presenting that information, they're teaching everyone else around the table. Everybody's learning. I've had leaders say, I can't do that. I get so nervous when I get up and speak in front of people, which we know fear of communication is a huge issue. Well, I'm helping them overcome that by setting up a safe environment, giving them tools that they can present in a way that's friendly and helpful, but also getting them ready for the day they're going to stand in front of the whole department or division and make a presentation. I think of a young man, that journey happened with us over 2 years. Now he's in a promoted leadership role, and he's having to stand up and make presentations on a regular basis. But goes back to the principle, as a leader, you're going to have team meetings to get your work accomplished. But do a few additional things to use those very meetings to develop people and give your table an opportunity to grow. You ask a question, do you care about everybody on your team? Absolutely. But if you have 200 people on your team, you can't care about them equally the same. Mm-hmm. Your leadership table is your number one focus. The leaders you put around you, you want to pour into them, because as you develop them, they in turn will be able to model that for the rest of the organization that you lead.
Selma,
that's helpful.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the thing I really, really like about that is, especially for the person stepping into a new role, they may not have a big budget. They may not be able to send people to conferences or to get other degrees or things like that. But the advice you're giving, that's free, or you know, maybe you buy some books, you know, expense some books for people to read. But people with a very limited development type of budget can jump right in with this.
Oh, Phil, you've made a good point. So many times we think of development only in the formal process of taking a course, continuing education, which I'm big on that. But that should be about a fifth or an eighth of your development plan. Many times we've tried to make that 75% of our development plan. No. Yeah, we should always go outside of our organizations to learn and grow. That's been a huge part of my leadership development. Going to different universities, taking different classes in different regions of the country. All those are important, but it's a small part of it. There needs to be, books that you read, people that you network with. And a huge thing, even for millennials, you need to have somebody younger than you that you're learning from. You need to have people older than you, absolutely, that have gone before you, that have the wisdom of leadership, but you also need to have somebody younger than you to keep your mind open to another generation that's coming up behind you that you need to learn from. I have several millennials that are a part of my development plan. I have to spend time with them. They teach me all kinds of things about new technology tools, new ways of thinking and doing work. I'm so grateful for those younger than me that are making me a better leader.
Well, Selma, that's, again, just rich, rich advice, and I think encouragement for our listeners. I really admire your ability to take something that really looks like a cloudy, complex, and clear it away and say, hey, here's three things you can do to begin to get at that. And
yes,
you've done a wonderful job of that today, and I appreciate your time with us today.
Thank you so much. It's a joy. And again, let me affirm everything that you and your organization are doing to pour into leaders. It is absolutely fun, isn't it, Phil?
It is. It is. Yeah. It is a big responsibility, and,
yes,
and it does get a little scary sometimes, but it's something that really is one of the most fun aspects of leadership.
It is. I agree.
Well, listeners, I hope this has been as rich and fruitful time for you as it has been for me. Our takeaway today is, as always, is the important thing with leadership is we want to be looking for the opportunity to invest in others. It's our chance to pay it forward. It's how we continue to make sure that the ministry or the business continues to run strong even long after we've moved on. And also that there's seasons of investment. And the seasons, sometimes we're investing in other people, but we always circle back around to the point where somebody's investing back in us again, as Selma has pointed out today. So that's our hope, our prayer for you as you go out, that you have the opportunity to find somebody to mentor you and invest in you and take what you learn and turn around and invest it in somebody else. We'll look forward to you joining us next time we're together here on the Impact 360 Leadership Podcast. Have a great day, everyone.
For more information about our worldview and leadership experiences for students, visit impact360.org. Impact 360 Institute. Know. Be. Live.